Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro, and you wonder, are work from home jobs really headed to India? I had a couple of fans, experts in this area, weigh in. You're not going to want to miss that. While we're speaking of unemployment-related issues, I talked to an expert on what's going on with that this weekend. Update on what's going on there. We've got how hedge funds managers are positioned, what's going on in the bond market today. I mean, why were treasuries dumping? I got an opinion on that. What's the word about central banks tapering? Does this mean the Fed's going to start tapering next too? I'll give you my opinion on that as well. This afternoon, I'm sitting down with Martin North to take a little walk around the world. And for those of you who've been asking about, hey, here's my email, I'm ready to sign up for Momentum Timer Pro. Hang tight. In my world, compliance is a baby step. So when I get past the next level of approval, we'll put a website up where you can go and put your email address and sign up for free. It'll be really cool. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Let's get right into I want to start not with a headline story. I want to talk about what's going on with just the base unemployment. Why are we having trouble finding all these workers? Well, I spoke this weekend with a highly credible source, someone who's on unemployment, my stepson, who I remembered was on it. And I thought, hey, I'm going to go find out what the story is from him. And he told me that his benefits, assuming that he is approved to stay on it, could be extended all the way through September. And so I asked him about this $300 a month, you know, extra or a week extra benefit. And he says, man, he's like, it's really good. He's like, it's better than you think. He's like, for someone who's part time. And he said, in fact, when it was $600 a week, he's like, there was really no incentive to work because he's like, you're getting paid way more than you would have if you had a job. Now, today I saw this on Zero Hedge, and it adds some exact validation to what he said. And you look at minimum wage jobs, and you see on regular wage in black on unemployment. So minimum wage jobs are getting paid more money. In fact, exactly what he echoed. He's like, it's a pretty good deal to get this extra $300 a week. And you can see the average dishwasher wage, hotel clerk, preschool teacher, light truck driver, dental assistant, and the median wage is less than $3 difference. And this is based on a 40-hour work week. So if you're working less than 40 hours, which a lot of part-time people are, well, then these unemployment benefits are a really, really good deal. Now, he did say that you have to be looking for a job. And I asked him about that. And he says, well, it's pretty easy to game the system. He says, the way it works is you have to apply for a job. He says, it doesn't mean that you have to be qualified for the job that you're applying for. You just have to show you're looking for work. And he said, the state makes it really easy to do that. He said, you go to the state website, and you join, there's this pool of jobs you can search through. He says it's pretty easy. You go find a job you're not qualified for. So for example, if it requires a college education, you don't have one, you apply for those. Maybe it has some sort of special license or certificate. Don't have one? Apply for it. He goes, it's really great. He says, apply for a lot of jobs as a president of corporation. He says, you know you're not going to get it. And he says, so as long as you show you're applying, which the system records you applied for a job, he says, you're good to go. It doesn't require you to apply for a job that you could actually get. And so he thought that there would be quite a few people gaming the system all the way through September toward the end. But he also felt that he says, you know, there's probably going to be a rush of people looking for jobs. And to which I thought, well, I bet you there's going to be some people that figure that out and start looking for jobs a few months ahead of time. But he said, look, the bottom line is the $300 extra week, he says, it's a great deal if you're a part-time employee. Now, one thing that I was thinking about a year ago during this pandemic is a lot of people were talking about, hey, I can do my job from home. I want to work from home. This is a great deal. And you think about it, you actually save money working from home. And I kind of had the thought of, hey, if you can do your job from home, can't someone else do it for less in another part of the world? Because there's a lot of highly educated people in other parts of the world. They take English in school, so they speak English and write English. And if we could do our jobs here, well, couldn't they do their jobs? Well, a couple fans weighed in and said, yeah, those jobs, they're headed to India. One person sent me an email who said his company, you know, they hire people and they, you know, put ads out for jobs and they do the interviews and they do, you know, this whole recruitment process. And he said, look, we run ads in the US, and he showed me a link. Here's this same job. We're flying that job in India. He says, by the way, the wages in India, fraction of what they are in the US. So he said, what happens is we receive applicants And we go through the process, and he said 9 out of 10 times or more, the person from India gets the job because the wage is substantially less. And he's, yeah, there's some lags within the internet, but a lot of these jobs, you know, for how inexpensive labor is over there compared to here, he said it's a good deal. Another fan weighed in and said, yeah, I know a lot about this subject too. He said the reason you see all these job postings is due to also due to the H-1B compliance regulations. He said, so if a job gets posted in the U.S. and there's no one that applies for it after a certain period of time, I don't remember if it was a couple weeks or months what he said. He said, now all of a sudden you can accept applications for people with visas. And guess where those jobs, he said, are going? They're going to India because, again, the wages are substantially less. So the story is coming is if you can do your job from home, well, maybe someone else can too. So all these jobs we're seeing, that we're seeing these postings, we're going to get the JOLTS data, the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, which is a very lagging survey, but we're going to get that this week. It shows a lot. It'll probably show a lot of job openings, but apparently they don't really matter that much. All right, so let's talk about what's going on with this taper news. So believe it's Bank of Canada, ECB, European Central Bank, and Bank of England, which are tapering their bond purchases. And that's getting people excited, say, okay, here comes the Fed's next. The Fed's going to taper. And the Fed's been very clear, we are not tapering. Now, Brent Johnson of Santiago Capital weighed in on this topic this weekend and said, look, part of the issue is all these other central banks are hitting near 50% of their total outstanding bond issuance. He's like, they don't have a lot of latitude to buy more. True. Here's another reason that a lot of people aren't thinking is the world wants a relatively strong dollar. It's kind of like, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You don't want it too hot, too cold, you want it just right. And that's the same with the dollar is, you don't want it too high, but you don't want it too low like it is now. You want it just right, it needs to be higher. So how would you fix that if everyone's doing QE? How would you get the dollar to go up? Well, you would, if you're outside of the U.S., you would start tapering your purchases, right? Because remember, think of that dollar prison. We talked about how it locks dollars up in the U.S. commercial banking system. Well, you see similar effects in foreign systems and through their central bank and their QE purchases. So what would they do to have the opposite effect to let their currencies appreciate against the dollar? You do less QE. And I think that's what's going on. I think there is demand to get the dollar back up to a stronger level where it can be more useful and actually create inflation, not the inflation that, you know, we're about to see this week print on the CPI, but sustained rising inflation, which of course we're going to talk about that in today's show too. All right, now let's move on to what's going on with the bond market. We'll get into how the hedge fund managers are positioned. So what do we see today in the treasury market? Well, let's go take a look. We saw here's TLT, we saw what, just selling all day long. Now, you may not have known this, but Amazon issued $18.5 billion worth of bonds today. And believe me, the demand for corporate debt right now is much higher than it is for treasuries. And so it's not terribly surprising that we see prices go down. Now, how about from a tactical perspective? Is this move down the bond market the end of the world, signaling that things kind of are over? Not necessarily at all. You can maybe barely see this, and I'll make it a little bit bigger, this dash purple line. And it's at a very strong level of support. And you see here where this dotted line was support. So this is technical analysis. Where were buyers at? They're right around this purple line. They were here, and then those buyers got pushed through by sellers. And then it became resistance, where sellers were at. So now the purple line went from where buyers are at to where sellers are at, to where sellers are at, where sellers are at, where sellers are at, and then it broke through. And when you flip over a level of support where previously sellers were at, it now becomes, or where a resistance where sellers are at becomes a level of support. And so now you see level of support, close to level support, 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 and now it just got rammed down here to retest this level of support. Was this possible? Yes. Was it likely? Now, hard to say. But what I can tell you is after this move here on the payroll report, wait till we look at how hedge fund managers are positioned. You're going to see they probably got excited about people selling against this inflationary payroll report and have just kept the ball rolling because there's some other things going on this week in the name of a 30-year bond auction that's coming up. and the CPI print. So we'll look at that in a little bit. Let's take a look at the economic data. I don't think we have a whole lot there before we get into how hedge fund managers position. I've got Australian retail sales up 1.3%. This is a fantastic month over month number. This you would expect to drive the year over year up. Maybe we'll talk to Martin North about, you know, what's going on in Australia. And we have the Conference Board Employment Trends Index. Now, this is up from 102.70 to 105.40. Not back to pandemic highs, but this shows some strength in, you know, the labor market in terms of employment trends. Now, the pre-pandemic was just shy of, you know, right around 109, 110, and we're at 105.40. So getting close. Question is, will we make it there or not? The 3 and 6 month bill auctions went off without a hitch, so no support for higher long bond yields other than it just continued selling. But one thing we want to look at, and while there is no direct correlation between what the China CPI and US CPI, one thing to look at here is you see the year over year in April is looking like it's predicted to go from 0.4 to 1.0. So you can look at this tonight as it, when the official number comes in. But look at the month over month. It went from minus 0.5 to minus 0.2. So what does that tell you is whatever these year over year base effects from, you know, countries being shut down, when you get a negative month over month, well, that tells you that the CPI on the year over year is not going to hold those numbers. So keep an eye out Wednesday for the US CPI. Of course, we'll talk about that in the show. Let's take a look at how hedge fund managers are positioned in the futures market. And we see 10-year treasuries, they increased their, they went from long back to short. Not a huge move by any length of imagination, but look at the 30-year and we see a big move down here in shorts. And my guess, and remember, this is a Tuesday, so my guess is this has been increased going into this week. Tomorrow the number gets locked in for the report on Friday. And from our buddy Stefan at Skyway Asset Management, here he shows the net shorts going down, just kind of just what we saw there on Hedgeopia, and shows that. And then he says the total futures, though, total net longs to short across the board from all different positions, from commercials, non-commercials, and dealers, is still net long to him. That's still constructive as a, for a bottom and a rally in bond prices. And then he runs the same report, TLT, and he's got that against 2 years, which he says is slightly net short. 5 year, then again, these are total positioning. 5 years are net long, 10 years are net long, 30 long bonds net long. So again, from his view, this is constructive of what looks to be a bottom in the bond market. How about looking at crude oil? No major change there in positioning. And we'll go on the S&P 500 market is now looking net short again. That's been bouncing around. Euro, we're seeing an increase in euro. I can tell you this is, has to do with CTA positioning as part of this move higher. And so what should we expect? A move lower in dollar, in the dollar. What have we seen? We talked about this on the chart show, Sunday night chart show on Sunday. Yep, we see a weaker dollar. And part of that being is demand for the euro. Gold futures, despite a rally in gold, we're seeing speculative positioning back off. Usually that leads to lower gold prices. Again, part of the rally in gold is rising euro, weaker dollar. That's helping out a lot. How about the NASDAQ? Tech stocks remain net short. Biggest sell-off is today was in the tech stock. And Russell 2000 remains net short. And how about the dollar? They're backing off their long, you know, not a big move off their longs, but they're slowly backing off their longs. Again, you know, between that and the euro going higher, makes perfect sense that the dollar is going to head lower. And then last, volatility futures of VIX, pretty much unchanged over last week. Now let's talk about the CPI real quick here. And due to base effects, we're likely to see a big print. In fact, the predicted estimate for the CPI on a year over year is plus 3.6%. Now that's huge. Fed already says, don't worry, there's a 1%, you know, base effect in there. So are we going to get a bigger number? Probably. Is this close to the peak? Remember, we had some opinions that it's either this month or next month. So either April's data or May's data, that's going to be the peak. One thing I want you to look at is crude oil. So here we have the consumer price index on a year over year in blue. And here we have crude oil in red. And if you go back to a year ago, where was that bottom in crude? April 20th. And so the year over year, now we know that the CPI is not perfectly correlated with crude oil, but we know energy prices make up quite a bit of it. So if you're looking for a base effect, if you're looking for a big year-over-year increase, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see it in crude due to the crude oil bottom here and going up. Now, after that, you get into May, and you see pretty decent recovery. So, you know, the inflation expectations from crude building into this are going to massively ease by May. The key to what we're going to look for in the data on Wednesday when we have the show is, what's the month over month data? Are we going to see the money multiplier, you know, driving down or putting downward pressure on, say, the core CPI or other parts of the CPI to say, yeah, this is transitory, as we believe that the data says it will be. Anyways, with that, I again appreciate all of you being fans. We will be looking forward to the Wednesday chart show. We've got 30-year long bond option on Thursday, 10-year on Wednesday. I think the 2-year tomorrow, 2 or 3-year, I don't remember, one of the two. Anyways, so we'll look for those, and we have a new QE schedule coming on Thursday, so we'll be interested in that as well. Anyways, I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being fans. We'll see you on Wednesday. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. Shares not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by our selling security, financial instrument, or participating in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advising or Steve Van Meter Financial.